Blog Talk Radio.
Just here this last Wednesday. Time goes by so fast. For those of you that's tuning in, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do invite you to be a part of this ministry. We are an interactive Bible study. And what we do is we just digest the Word of God And we invite those who are listening, if you choose to call in, to interact, to be a part of it. If you choose, if you're listening by internet, you can dial, you can type in on the chat line, and we'll read whatever you type if you have no opportunity of getting to us by phone. Amen? We try to make all opportunities available for you. We're going to have prayer. Then after we have prayer, we're going to hear a word from prophetess, and then we're going to move on into the scripture. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for another day. Lord, what would we do without you? We cannot do anything without you. So we just humble ourselves, Heavenly Father, that as we are about ready to search the scriptures, Lord, that you would just unveil the mysteries to us. Lord, we pray that you would just give our minds clarity. Allow us to be able to speak through the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that we would decrease as you increase. We know that with you we can do all things. Without you, we can do nothing. Father, we like to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have been in the hospital, such as Pearl Hines, Heavenly Father, who is recovering, a miraculous recovery. And if she was here right now, she would probably say that it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We pray for Jimmy Davis, who is in the hospital, was called in last night. Father, we pray that you would just allow his body, Heavenly Father, whatever it is that they said that they find, Lord, that they look and they see nothing, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just ask that you minister to them spiritually, mentally, and physically as he goes through his test. And Father, if there's anyone else, Heavenly Father, that we missed out on, we pray, Lord, that you would just give them healing. You know how to heal, Heavenly Father. Lord, nobody can do it like you. We just thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, the topic is what you need, God's got it. What you need, God's got it. We're going to go on over into New York. Prophetess, are you on? Can you hear us? Amen.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to, you know, ask you if you would, you know, if you have a word that you would like to share. You know, we know that you have the gift of prophecy, and, you know, and we had spoken. I'd ask if you would just share a word before we move into the scripture. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'd like to say good evening to everyone. And what I want to share with you today is that everything, the topic is right on point. Everything is in the Word of God. And
Amen.
During these trying times, we need to fill up in His Word. And the Word of God is true. The Word of God is a light unto our pathway. And, you know,
Amen.
It's in the Word of God where we find our peace. It's in the Word of God where grace abounds for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Word of God that is a light unto our pathway. It's the Word of God that will be your eternal flame. It will always come back and back and back because the Word of God never dies. It
Amen.
Lives. And as it is living in us. So praise God for His Word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for His Word. Amen. 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 As we move into the scripture, we're going to talk about the seven I Ams. The seven I Ams in the book of John. In the book of John, the seven I Ams. And the first I Am is the bread of life. God says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go thirsty, go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. For those
Amen.
Of you that's looking for the scripture, it is in John 6:35. We're going to search in the book of John, and we are talking about the seven I Ams. What you need, God's got it. Amen. What
Amen.
You need, God's got it. Amen. And if you think about in the Word of God, Jesus had recently fed 5,000. Can you imagine one person feeding 5,000? A man with a small amount. you just stretched it to the point where everyone that was in need, everyone that was hungry, was fed. And if anything, they left with something. So, you know, the Bible speaks about that. Incredibly, some were still asking for miraculous signs to help them believe.
Mm-hmm.
Some were asking for a miraculous sign to help them believe. It says, goes on to say, he who was claimed to be. Can you imagine Jesus Christ had just performed a miracle at that time? He had just fed 5,000. There was nothing, and he fed them. He fed everyone there. No one left hungry. No one left hungry. And there were still some there who were in doubt, still asking who he was. They brought up the manna. When they talked about the manna, their forefathers had eaten in the wilderness. If you look at Exodus, in Exodus 16, 13 through 18, it talks about they brought up the manna for their forefathers had eaten in the wilderness, and they established a context for this statement. I believe that Jesus was saying the manna was meant to be a model for the Messiah.
Wow.
Whoever lives with him will never again know spiritual hunger. Now, when we look at this, we look at this from the natural eye. When we look at the bread of life, the bread, when we think about bread, we think about it from the natural sense, bread that we eat. Now, if I give you a piece of bread or a loaf of bread, it's going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to run out unless you go buy some more, if there is money to buy more. And what God is saying here is the bread of life. I am the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I said, if Jesus is saying about the manna, it's meant to be a model for the Messiah. It's saying also that whoever eats will never again know spiritual hunger. Like the bread, everyone who seeks will find him. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you do not know this man that we are talking about, if you do not have a relationship with him, you know, what God is saying is that if you let him into your heart, speak it out with your mouth and let him in your heart, and you believe that he is the one who died, resurrected, and is coming back again, Jesus Christ is saying that if you seek him, you'll find him. If you need more information on that, you can look at Matthew 7:7-8, and it talks a little bit more about that. But we're not going to get deep into that. We're going to move on with the seven I am. Each of us, you know, has to find him for ourselves. You have to find him for yourself. I have to find him for myself. No one is ever going to receive him for you. You have to find him for yourself. I can't receive him for you, nor can anyone else receive him for you. It's like praying for someone. You know, when you pray for someone, it's great to pray for someone, but then sometimes you have to ask that person, they have to develop that relationship of prayer so that they can receive it. It's a one-on-one basis. So we all get a certain amount of salvation, but here it's saying no one is lacking. No one is lacking. No one of him is wasted. No one of him is wasted. As for thirst, when we become thirsty, remember what Jesus had told the woman at the well, that the water he offered could cure her thirst forever. He was talking about Jacob's well, and before they were standing, they were just standing there, and Jesus had asked the woman for water, a cup of water. He asked her for a cup of water. And she gave him the water, and he offered her water. And he's saying the difference between the two is the water that you gave me is going to end. Once I drink it, that's it. But the water that I give you, that will last you forever. That's a thirst that will quench your thirst forever. Mm-hmm. Now, in the water, indeed, the water I will give to you will become a spring of water welling up until eternal life. Now, that basically just comes, goes into Scripture in John 4:13 through 14. It says, what I give him will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Whatever you need, God's got it. God is saying that I can breathe. I can be the bread of life. I am the Messiah. I'm the one that you have been looking for. If there's a gap in your life, if there's something missing in your life, Jesus Christ is saying, I am the bread of life. And if you are thirsty, if there's a thirst in your life where you desire, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is saying that once you drink of the water, once you drink of that spiritual water, you will never, ever thirst again. Meaning that once you get into the Word of God and have that one-on-one relationship with Him, that it'll fill you up. It'll supply your needs. It will make it so that you will never thirst again. And that's being in life and just being hungry or thirsting and knowing that there's something missing in my life. There's something missing in my life. I'm going through the whole process. I'm going through the process in my life. I got a job. I have everything that I need, but I'm still feeling emptiness in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, my brother, my sister, that you are missing, if not there, is Jesus Christ. Because yes. Jesus Christ will fill that gap. Jesus Christ will give you what you need. Jesus Christ will make you feel full on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You will never ever hunger, nor will you ever thirst again. Mm-hmm. Once you get into the Word of Jesus Christ, once you step in to develop that relationship with Him, you will never, ever feel empty again. Amen?
Amen.
Any comments before I move on?
No, I'd just like to say that this is a beautiful word. Being the bread, this is why He is our daily bread. And whatever we need each day, just like the manna was, like the elder said, just like the manna was when the Israelites were out in the wilderness, they got manna from heaven. Each day God fed them. And that's for us too. That was a model. For Jesus came into our life as a sacrifice and as a filling bread for us each and every day, whatever our need is, just like the topic says. Amen.
And He met the need for the day with the manna.
Yes.
He didn't go beyond. It was always sufficient where they would be satisfied at the end of the day. And we have to understand that Christ is enough, that His what He's done for us and what way He provides for us is sufficient, that we don't need to look any further. We don't need to look any further. You'll meet all of your needs day by day, one day at a time.
Hallelujah.
That's good. Hallelujah. Day by day.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. If there's anyone that would like to call in and participate on the line, the call number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. We invite you to be a part of this interactive Bible study as we just, you know, just have fun and just talk about the Word of God. You know, the Word of God, which is what gives us all that we need. Amen? And we are now, if you're just jumping in, we're talking about the seven I Am. The seven I Am. The second I Am is the light of the world. The light of the world. That's coming from John 8 and 12. That's coming from John 8 and 12. And it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Let me read that again. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Imagine having the light of life. And literally what that means is those who join Jesus as one of his followers will never be ignorant of spiritual matters.
Amen.
Power of understanding, especially the spiritual truth that brings eternal life. So that means that when we take time to learn and apply these truths in our faith, we discover the old adage truth. We discover that. When we take time to learn the Word of God and then we apply it to our truth in our faith, we become, what happens is, the Word, you know what the Word says. It says the Word is a lamp to our feet.
Amen.
And a light into our path. A lamp to our feet, meaning, my brothers and my sisters, that wherever we are going, that the Word of God will direct us. It will direct our feet. It's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, meaning that the path has already been provided. All we have to do is just follow that light. And what is that light? That light is the truth, the Word of God, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. You said something. You said we're talking about spiritually, that it made me think of being spiritually blinded or in the spiritual darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see. So people are out here, and even us that are saved, the more you dig into the Word, the more revelation, the more you're enlightened by the Word. You can read a scripture today that you read 20 years ago, and it'll have a new meaning today because
Amen.
If you've been walking with the Lord, walking on the path and experiencing different things in life, your perception is different. Your perspective is different. Your perspective based on your life experiences, based on your relationship with the Lord, and as your relationship with the Lord continues to grow and your understanding of the Word is opened up, you learn more. It has new meaning to you. So the more you can read the same scripture over and over again, like people say, well, I've already read the Bible one time. Well, how old were you when you did that? And even because each time you open it, there's new revelation. There's new revelation to me. I can think of, like, reading the scripture that you just gave us, and it doesn't mean, it means something totally different to me right now. Like, I think of the spiritual path. Before, when I would read it, I may have thought of it as just that if I follow the Lord, that's what I'm supposed to do, so do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
being younger. But as you get older, as you become more mature, not necessarily older, you know, chronologically, but as you become spiritually mature and your eyes are opened up, like even when the word, how the Lord uses the eagle very often, the eagle gets stronger and his sight becomes keener when he gets older. The older he gets, the more, the stronger he becomes. He can fly, but his body is able to do more. His wings are stronger. His wingspan is stronger, is wider. He doesn't use as much energy to do the flying and everything. He knows how to coast because he has learned the best way to conserve his energy. He has learned the way to take care of himself and the way to navigate within his world. And I believe the Lord gives us that in the enlightenment on how to live this life right here as Christians in this world in preparation for the next.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen.
The mic's open. Any comments? Anyone would like to join in? Just join in, and we will just turn your mic on, and you can participate. Amen. Hallelujah. And we, you know, if you just tuned in, we're talking about the seven I Am, the seven I Ams. We're talking about the bread of life, and now we're talking about the light of the world, the light of the world. My brothers and my sisters, do you know that God does not want us to be depressed? He does not want us walking with our heads down.
Amen.
The Word's got, the Bible has got everything that we need. Whatever situation that we're going through, whatever situation that we're in, the Word of God has that solution for us. The Word of God. That's just how powerful the Word of God is. That's just how powerful the Word of God is. Amen? It says here, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Amen. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, my brothers and my sisters, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And that comes from Philippians 4:4-7. Philippians 4:4-7. Now, there's some things that it says, talking about the light of the world. Question. Do you carry a burden of guilt because of your sins? If we confess, here's the solution. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. That's not me that said that. I'm still talking about the Word of God. Scripturally, it's in 1 John 1:9, if you want to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about the burdens and guilt because of our sins. And that's in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Second question, do you have money problems? The solution, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's in Luke 6:38. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians 9:11. That's what money promises. Give, and it will be given unto you. God wants us to have a cheerful heart. Even though that you may not have, when you give from your heart, God looks at our heart, and he rewards us according to that. Amen?
And it's not just money. It's in gift-giving,
amen,
too.
Amen, amen.
Blessing people. If you have an abundance, if you have 3 winter coats and you can only wear one at a time, you know, and there's somebody, a neighbor, that in need of a coat, why not give the coat?
Amen.
If you have,
I was going to say
that. If you want, if you can bless a family, your refrigerator is full, your pantry is full, but you have people that are you know, at the end of the month, unable to make ends meet or feed their children, why not bless them? Well, we're supposed to be a blessing to others. We're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
And the Lord trusts you with, we're supposed to treat, I remember the Lord gave me this revelation, and it's been maybe about 20 years ago, that if I treat $10 like it's $100, $100 like it's $1,000, and vice versa, $1,000 like it's $100, and $100 like it's $1, where, in other words, where I watch my money and be careful, like be prudent and appreciative of the blessing that the Lord has given me a job, he's given me money, given me a means to, you know, to take care of myself and my children, but also be able to give. So don't be, because someone is where the Holy Spirit may impress on me to give $100, not to be stingy and only give 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to treat
that
just like you would a $10 bill. The Holy Spirit says $100, give $100 generously and cheerfully, just like I would $10.
Mm-hmm.
But because just like it goes out, it comes back in. And I remember that at that time, and I can't remember who spoke this, but that's why it's called currency. You're supposed to keep it moving, keep it current, you know, to be be moved by the Spirit and not to be hung up on the material things. We went to a funeral today, and just thinking about the funeral, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you, no matter how much you have, you can't take it with you. We should be, while we're here, especially if you're a believer, you should be blessing other people. No one should have the idea that Christians are stingy because they got a picture of me or somebody who's stingy as the poster child Christian. People, you know, people get ideas from who they know. People will say, like you hear people say, well, black people do such and such, Chinese people do such and such. Those are stereotypes enough, but if that's all they've seen, that's all they know. So when people see us as children of the living God, the God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, we should walk our life out like that, carry ourselves like that, and be willing to, if you say you're a king's kid, act like a king's kid. If you say you're saved, act and look like you're saved.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
If you say that you're happy in Christ, act and look like you're happy in Christ. Why would anybody want to follow somebody who's stingy and selfish and, you know what I'm saying, that somebody with the poverty mentality, but yet still says that they're a child of God. We need to change that. That's the spirit. That's the spirit,
amen.
And that's not a person.
Amen.
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 So as we continue here, moving on, we were talking about, as you just said, you know, we're talking about you should not walk around. You should walk around looking as though you are a child of God. Walking around looking like you are a child of God, God. And that's why it says rejoice in the Lord, not sometimes, not just on Sundays, but rejoice in the Lord always. And there are three things that I highlighted, and it says when you rejoice. If you carry a burden, we confess of our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from unrighteousness in 1 John 1:9. The second point was if you have money problems, and it says that in 2 Corinthians 9:11, give and it will be given unto you, speaking about charity. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your hand. For the measure you use, listen to me, for the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's in Luke 6. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion. And though, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Amen? And it's saying when you do these things, that you're going to thank God because you're going to have more than you need. Amen? It will come, it will just overflow because of your giving.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's what we're going to bring. It is, do you have any health problems? Any health problems? And it states in James 5:14-16. If any one of you sick, that's a question, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Let me say that again. And the prayer offered in faith, that's a key word, in faith, will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Let me say that again. Hallelujah. The prayer of a righteous man, I'm going to say it further, the prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman is powerful and effective. James 5:14-16. Amen? And I'll say it again. Wherever the spiritual question, whenever you have a spiritual question, let me tell you something. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. What you need, God's got it. We're talking about seven I-Ms. As we move on to the third I-M, this is located in John 10:9, and it talks about the gate. And Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. What is that saying? If you're scratching your head right now, it is saying that the only way to have eternal life is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only way to make it into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is saying, I'm the gate. Can you imagine in your mind that there's a gate and there's all kind of locks on it and you can't get in? You can't get in unless you have the key. Well, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, the key is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because once you got Jesus Christ in you, those gates automatically open. And then it says, whoever enters through me, through Jesus Christ, will be saved. He will come in. Think about a gate. When you go in, you're going to be able to come out also. He says you can go in and go out. And when you go out, Jesus Christ is saying that you can go out and find pasture. You can go out and find pasture. You can go out and be fed with more than you need.
Mm-hmm.
If you need peace, let me tell you something. God's got it.
Mm-hmm.
If you need help, let me tell you something.
God's got it. If there's a health problem, if you need finances, let me tell you something. God's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you need, God's got it. Amen? Hallelujah. Talking about that gatekeeper. Seven, I am. The fourth I am is in John 10:11. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. You think about a shepherd. A shepherd is someone who watches over the flock. Amen? That shepherd is the one who guides those sheep in the right direction. There's a saying. He guides the sheep in the right direction. And those sheep don't know what to do unless the shepherd is able to guide them around. So they're just walking around, but they're being guided by the shepherd. And that shepherd is the one that keeps them safe from harm. Because if that one sheep goes off, and you've heard about the wolves, right? You've heard about that. Going out into a world of wolves. The sheep going out into the world of wolves. And you know what? There's nothing but danger. But when that sheep is out there by itself, there's no protection. There's no protection from the predator. And he's saying that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And you know what this shepherd did? This shepherd gave his life. He will give his life. Jesus Christ gave his life. But it's saying here, he will give his life for the sheep. My question is with you, if you were over something, would you give your life for what you were in charge of? You don't even have to answer that. You don't have to answer. But by human nature, you don't have to answer. Amen? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. Amen? No one except sheep be responsible for themselves. Amen? Most shepherds only take that to the point where it would be threatened of their personal safety. And what they do is, they're saying is their life is worth more than the sheep. That's a worldly mindset. Amen? Deciding whether your life is worth more than the sheep, a few would be willing to risk their lives to protect the sheep, but the shepherd that I'm talking about knowingly and willingly died to save us because there was no other way. There was no one who was going to make an atonement. There was no one who was going to make an atonement for us. So Jesus Christ gave his life for you and for me. Jesus Christ was the shepherd. Amen? Jesus Christ gave his life for us because he saw us as the sheep heading in the wrong direction. He saw us as the sheep about ready to become harmed. We were going in harm's way. Jesus Christ, because he is the good shepherd, he said, you know what? I'll die for you. I'll give my life for them. I will give my life. And he came down from heaven to earth in humanly form. That's another topic. In talking about Jesus Christ from heaven and in human form, that's another topic. But he came down in human form. He died for you and for me. Nailed to the cross. But the good news was he resurrected. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ resurrected. Now we're going to get into this. That's the next one. I am the resurrection and the life. Number five, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's in John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Hallelujah. This is an amazing statement. The Lord had already said that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Eternal life. You know where that comes from in John 3:16. Here he provided more detail in saying that even though a believer experiences physical death, he still shall have life. He was referring to the resurrection of those who die in faith. Amen? And that's what he's talking about, physical death. Those who die in faith. And then he said that there would be some who would never die, but would pass from this life directly into the next one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've been saved and you've been born again. Hallelujah. You're going to cross over into the next life. Amen. If we didn't know anything about the rapture, we wouldn't see this. But since we do, we can understand that he was talking about that one generation who will be alive when he comes for the church and will receive eternal life without dying first. And once again, the Lord confirmed that the single qualifications for eternal life is to believe that his death paid the entire price for our sin. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and for me, and that's what it's saying. Do you believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins? Do you believe? Hallelujah. I'm going to open up the mics. And I feel like I'm trying to get through this before time is up, but the mics are open. Amen? Any comments?
Amen.
Any comments? I'm talking about the seven I am.
I just want to talk about going back to the Good Shepherd. And that reference is in Psalms 23. And I was looking at that just a minute ago. And where it says, and everybody knows it's a familiar passage, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes down to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What I like about that is because Christ is our shepherd, hallelujah, the rod, if you think about a shepherd that's tending sheep, okay, the rod is what keeps the sheep. It's what keeps the sheep in line. Keeps the sheep in line, and it wards off evil. That rod wards off evil. When the enemy comes in and comes in after us, Jesus stands up, and he takes that rod, and he beats off the wolves from away from us. But the staff is the authority. The authority that speaks, they are mine, you shall not harm them. So I'm saying the what you're saying here, Pastor, what you're saying here as far as the Good Shepherd, he is our Good Shepherd. If I'm getting this across to everyone, he is our Good Shepherd, and he watches over us with a rod. And not only fights off the enemy, but that rod, you know, every once in a while, the Lord has to spank us, and it keeps us in line. But then when the staff comes with authority, the authority to not let anything come near our dwelling. Okay, that's all I got to say.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And again, if you're just joining in, we're talking about the seven I Am's. And the topic is, what you need, God's got it.
Yes.
We're on the seventh I Am.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh I Am. I'm sorry, sixth I Am. Thank you for correcting
mm-hmm.
me. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. That's John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way into the presence of God than by accepting the Lord's death as payment for our sins.
Amen.
As Peter said, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.
Amen.
Jesus is the only remedy God has provided for man's sin problem. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He is the only way to eternal life. This is the truth of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to get salvation or receive salvation is through Jesus Christ. It has already been written. All we have to do is just accept him into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever church that you may go to, someone may have hurt you, whatever the case may be, whatever it is, Jesus saying, the way, the truth, and the life is through me. You cannot be angry at that person that said something to you or something that you did not like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying to you, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? It's not worth losing your soul. It's
Amen.
Not worth you not making it into heaven because you're holding on to that grudge or you're holding on to something that happened to you in the past.
My God.
God is moving forward, walking forward in the name of Jesus. Not looking back, but pressing on to the mark of our high calling. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Any comments?
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way into the presence of God than by accepting the Lord's death as payment and fully for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did is we owe him.
Mm-hmm.
We owe him. We are in debt. We are in debt because no one else could step up to the plate. No one could step up and give their lives because we was in, it's like being in a courtroom, you know,
mm-hmm.
being in a courtroom. Mm-hmm. You're in a courtroom and all of a sudden that judge says guilty.
Mm.
And all of a sudden his brother comes out of the side room and says, you know what, I'll pay for this.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I'll pay for his debt. Just came out of nowhere. I will pay for his debt.
Mm-hmm.
Let him go. And that judge looked and said, his debt has been paid.
Mm-hmm.
It has been paid. And that man was able to walk off. Even
mm-hmm.
though that he was guilty and there was a debt to be paid, the judge's brother walked on in and said, I will pay his debt.
Wow.
And the man was able to leave. The man was free.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And that's just
thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus stepped in and said, I will pay their debt.
Mm-hmm.
Let them free. We're free, my brothers and sisters. You're not in bondage. Don't act like you are in bondage. You are
thank you, Lord.
Free. Your debt has been paid.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
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 Mm-hmm.
We're down to the last I Am. The vine. I am the vine. I'm sorry, if you want to look it up in John 15:5. Amen. John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man mm-hmm. remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's one of my favorite statements when I'm praying.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I can do nothing without you. I can do nothing without you. Who am I? I'm just thankful that you have just blessed me to even be here. Who am mm-hmm. I? Nothing. Nothing. I'm nothing without you.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It's important to understand that salvation is not barren event. So in this statement, Jesus was talking about our life after we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a non-believer can't bear fruit. And even after this stage, believers are not automatically fruitful. You have to grow into it, my brother, my sister. You have to walk it out. But if we yield our life to God, and that's in Romans 12, 1 and 2, if we yield our life to him and respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he will guide us. And by he guiding us, we can bear much fruit.
Amen.
Amen. We can
righteous
bear
fruit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Amen. No, I was just saying righteous fruit, because I like what you're saying. This is for the saved to bear this fruit.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
We're one in him. But
Amen.
We have those that aren't saved that bear fruit, but it's not righteous
mm-hmm.
fruit. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the enemy's fruit. I like that.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Thank you for making it plain. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're saved, that doesn't mean that you're automatically going to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not automatically going to do that. But here's the piece to that. Yielding to the life of Jesus Christ. Yielding.
Mm-hmm.
Yielding means, you know, saying, I surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I surrender to you, Lord. I'm giving my life to you. I surrender. I know that I'm weak.
Mm-hmm.
And thou art strong. I know it. I know that I can do nothing without you.
Mm-hmm.
And through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within us, that's how we're guided on our daily basis, on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
When people see our lives by the way we conduct ourselves.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's where that fruit comes from. They see the Spirit of Christ within us. And I love that statement when it says, what would Jesus Christ do in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
Always asking, what would Jesus Christ do?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
It's not our lives. It's not our lives.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
With him, we can do nothing. We're not talking about the spiritual value.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be saved and we'll no more use the work of kingdom than the useful. We are kingdom builders while we are here. Amen? For those of you, again, that's just tuned in, we thank you for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for tuning in. Minister from out of New York, we're going to ask you if you could, pray and close us out, on this topic. If you want to make any comments, please do.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Amen.
I was just thinking
about this word. It's powerful. It's a powerful word. And
praise the Lord.
I thank God for it, because we do need to be aware of who we are. And like this last statement about being in the vine, you know what? We can't not do anything apart from him. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But you know what I was thinking about when Sister Suzanne said she had went to a funeral today? And then it's true, we can't take anything with us. So even in our bodies, because I'm looking to do right by my body, everything is on loan to us. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have the Spirit of God. But even these bodies are on loan to us.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we obtain is on loan to us. And like she said before, when you have it to give, and the Word of God talks about that, when it's in your power to give, you should be able to do that. If your neighbor comes at your house at 12 o'clock at night and say, like the Word says, and I have somebody that I need to entertain, what are you going to do? Say, go away tomorrow? If you have it to give, give it right then and there. Like she also said, I like that, and I'm going to use that myself. Keep it current and keep it moving, if I'm saying that right. Keep it current and keep it moving. Or keep it moving, keep it current. Keep it going. It's supposed to be like pay it forward. Keep it moving, keep it going. That's all I have to say about that. I thank God. I thank God for this word. I thank God for the revelation of this word and the different things that were said in this program tonight. So, Father God, as we come to your throne of grace, we thank you today. We give you praise and glory for your word today. We thank you for the man of God that brought it to us. We thank you that you gave him the insight and the knowledge to dissect your word. Dear God, we thank you that this word isn't falling on stony ground, but we'll apply it to our lives, dear Father. Apply it to our lives. Let it be bread to our life and meat to our lives, dear Father, that we can spread it. We can send it. We can give it to someone else, Lord. We thank you today for this life. We thank you for all those that are listening today. And if there's anyone that is in need of a healing, dear God, a deliverance, you said to ask. Dear Father, you said you are willing. You are the God that heals, and you are willing to heal. Hallelujah. And we thank you today, and we glorify you today. In Jesus' name, amen. To God be the glory.
Amen. Hallelujah. Once again, we thank you for tuning in.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for that prayer. For those of you that tuned in with next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we do invite you to an interactive Bible study. As we close, remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Amen.
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 My past, for I found in trusting him. another life that's still worthwhile. I can reach out again, far beyond what I have done, like a dream.